Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush, rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
Welcome to your Monday Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly. If you'd like to be part of the program today, all you have to do is dial 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. Busy show today. Joining us shortly will be Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. He's run into a little bit of stormy weather with Walmart, and we just want to chat with him briefly about that. If you have been traveling over the Father's Day weekend, and you got where you were going on time, consider yourself quite lucky. Travelers have had a weekend of travel hell with the airlines. According to the group FlightAware, last Friday, 1,473 flights were canceled. Another 8,958 were delayed. On Saturday, another 859 flights were canceled, and whopping 18,198 flight delays. And then Sunday, an additional 419 flights scheduled for the holiday weekend Sunday were canceled as of Saturday evening. There are so many horror stories coming from the press about what happened. Kids being forced to sleep on dirty filthy airport floors, people whose bags were sent ahead of them, unable to retrieve things that they needed, people told that, you know, you're out of luck here, it's not just tonight, you're going to be there tomorrow. Well, you'll be glad to know, everybody that has suffered through this, that Pete Buttigieg, the Minister of Transportation, is going to take some kind of action. Yeah. He's going to point his finger at the airlines and tell them, hey, get it together, guys. This isn't cool. You know, you need to get there on time. And he may even, it says in the article that I have from American Wire, he is even thinking about issuing fines for certain airlines. He wants them to do a stress test to make sure that they do have enough flights ready for their summer schedule. Here's what is happening, unbeknownst to a lot of people. During the COVID, when no one was flying, when very few people were flying, what happened? They couldn't keep the same flight schedules where millions of people were going, so they shrunk the inventory, meaning they put a lot of planes on ice. Well, not on ice. They actually put them in the desert to keep them, functioning properly. But anyway, and the number of pilots at these airlines shrunk dramatically. Well, now people are coming back to the airlines, and guess what? There are not enough pilots in some cases. There are not enough pilots to go around. And so these inflated flight schedules, I mean, and I don't understand how this happens, but apparently, in some cases, tickets have been sold for flights where there's no guarantee that the pilots are going to show up. And I don't know to what extent that is happening, whether that's the depth of it or not. A lot of things, of course, over the weekend were weather-related. But it has been a mess. Oh, we have a great question from Eddie. Because, you know, there are some flights that seem to make it on time. But we'll talk about that shortly. So, just look at it last weekend. Add it all up, over 2,000 flights bumped. People left where they are, whether it's in Atlanta Hartsfield, which is a huge airport, whether it's right up here at the new LaGuardia, where it is still uncomfortable if you are not going to be on your plane and you're told you have to stay there overnight. In some cases, what the airlines usually do, put you up in a hotel and all that stuff. In some cases, that didn't happen either. So a lot of people had a really tough weekend. And if you believe Pete Buttigieg, he's going to fix it all. Yeah, I don't buy it. Washington, D.C., I don't have the story in front of me. I read the story at Fox, and I read it, I think, at BizPack Review or American Wire, about what happened in D.C., the music cello, whatever they called it. This was a non-permitted, by meaning the organizers didn't have a permit, music festival. And to me, if you have a music festival that doesn't have a permit, then I don't understand why the mayor, the police force, didn't go out and immediately say, hey, no permit, we're shutting this thing down. Anyway, it wasn't shut down. There ended up being a shooting. It was a horrible story about a 15-year-old boy who was shot. And as he's laying there dying in the streets of Washington, D.C., he's screaming for his mother. Screaming for his mother as the life ebbed out of his body. And people that heard those screams just say it was just really horrific to hear it, to hear them. It's something that they would never want to hear again in their life. This young 15-year-old crying out, shouting, screaming for his mom after he got shot. Apparently, a bystander. There was no no indication from any of the earlier reports that we've seen anyway that this 15-year-old was doing anything wrong except just being at the wrong place at the wrong time. There's a story in the New York Post about what Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is doing, rolling out a plan to cut shoplifting, the smash-and-go robberies. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office, which has faced blowback over Bragg's progressive police policies, will now focus on targeting repeat offenders. That's what Kathy Wild, the president of Partnership for New York City, said on Cat's Roundtable on WABC 770 AM. It's a plan to reduce retail theft in Manhattan, shoplifting, and smash-and-go robbery, something we very much need, Kathy Wild told our very own John Katsimatidis. He said they're going to be, the DA's office is going to be focusing on a much closer working relationship with the New York Police Department to aggressively identify those folks who have the highest rates of recidivism. You know, it's a relatively small number of relatively well-organized people who are committing most of these robberies that have so much increased over the years. So we look forward to this, if it's true. If it's true, the smash and grab robberies here in New York, and they're just part of the problem. How about the murderers? How about the guys that are running around that get caught up in one crime and then go to face these liberal judges under, by the way, Kathy Hochul has a lot to do with this. This woman running for governor. She could stop a lot of this right now by just getting behind an effort to repeal the bail reforms and also to get rid of these liberal prosecutors. There's a DA, by the way, in Queens. Again, I don't have the story in front of me. I don't want to quote anything that's not in this story, but this DA in Queens was using her protection detail to move out of her apartment, having her security run her city paid for security force run errands for her and help her move out of whatever domicile she was in into her new domicile. So this is what the DAs in New York, they're not worried about the criminals so much. They're worried about themselves, their progressive agenda, and, of course, how they're going to get from one place, one domicile to the next cheaply by using city labor. It's disgusting to see these people in power in New York while New Yorkers are cowering in fear, wondering if they need to, if they have to ride the subways, wondering if they can get home or not. If they have to open up their business, wondering if some group of thugs that should be in jail are going to march in, smash and grab them, hurt or kill somebody. And even when they are caught, they're let go again. Meanwhile, you open up the papers, you see your DA is running around using her own private security force as a bunch of movers. You see the mayor of your city out partying with the hoi polloi up in fancy elite crowd, whether it's in New York, Chicago, or L.A. And you see these district attorneys, these so-called progressive district attorneys, talking about the change that they want to make. Meanwhile, the criminals are roaming loose in this city. Again, Mike Lindell's coming up shortly. I want to read you something. Don't want the whole monologue to just be gloom and doom. I want to read you something that I saw on my Twitter feed. It was actually a Twitter direct message to me this afternoon. I just want to read this before we go into the first break today. I was at least heartened by this story, and I hope that you will be too. Gentleman's name is Travis Bickle, and he wrote to me, "Hey, sir. Just wanted to share something that happened this weekend. I was out with some buddies, and one, who is a big lefty, made some comment about people like Rush Limbaugh ruining the world and went on for a bit. I normally don't argue with him because he gets worked up, but I had a couple of beers, so I just laughed and said, 'Whatever, man.' Rush was hilarious, and I've listened to him since I was a baby. Every time he was on, it reminded me of being a kid in my dad's Suburban back in Sacramento. My other coworker chimed in and said, 'Yeah, man, same. I thought he was funny.' We moved on. And about 10 seconds later, my city was gone, started playing in the bar. My friend and I laughed. Rush is still with us." Boston Early's Rush Hour here on WABC Talk Radio 77 in New York. We're coming back. Your call is going to be a big part of the program, so don't go away. Coming back right after this.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Stevie Wonder brings us back. This from the album Fulfilling This First Finale. You haven't done nothing. There is a continuing battle taking place in Fairfax County, Virginia. The Fairfax, Virginia School Board has decided, they have a new handbook out, that students from fourth grade on up who use the wrong pronouns to designate their transgender peers are going to be suspended from school. Now, just on Saturday, we played some of the sound bites about some of these pronouns, and I don't even understand, and I bet many of you that listened, this was on our Saturday morning radio extravaganza, every Saturday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. I bet you many that heard these young people talking about how they use pronouns didn't understand a word of it. It's just like, what are you talking about? They, them. I'm a they, them. And one's, I'm a bun bun. What is a bun bun? Well, that's, if you don't call me a bun bun, then you're going to get trans, you're going to get suspended from school for mispronouncing me. This is what we're worried about in schools these days. Parents already in Fairfax County. Now, Fairfax, mind you, is one of the wealthiest counties in the country, not just in Virginia, in the country. And you know why? Because many of the people who rely on the largesse of taxpayers, be they lobbyists, be they government employees at the high end, or be they connected somehow to federal government work, live in Fairfax County. If you ever want to be in a recession-proof place, Fairfax County is it, because the money just keeps flowing. But some parents who live in Fairfax are just plain frustrated. They're yanking their kids out of schools, the Fairfax schools, and others are saying, okay, this enough. There's going to be lawsuits. People are questioning who these school boards are really representing. Now, don't be surprised if this becomes one of, or if it already isn't, one of the issues that voters will be going to the polls with in 2022. Hillary Clinton, by the way, has addressed this. She did an interview, and I'm paraphrasing what she said. She said, look, you know, the Democrats stand to be in trouble by supporting these narrow activist groups. And so, big problem. We have with us the CEO of one of the most successful companies in America, MyPillow, Mike Lindell. Mike, thank you so much for joining Bo Snerdley's Rush Hour here on WABC. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Mr. Lindell, your company received very bad news toward the end of last week from Walmart. All of a sudden, a decision was made, apparently, to just pull your products, the Walmart chain. I understand that your products were selling like gangbusters in Walmart. Why did this happen?
Well, it's the same old reason the other ones all that they left starting last year. They're afraid of the truth of the 2020 election, and they don't want me out there preaching to get rid of the voting machines and get our elections with just paper ballots. And that's the only reason the reason for it, because we are the number one selling product, they told me, ever. Of a $60 or $50 buy through. They lied to me three times. The first time they said, well, your sales are going down. And I said, no. This was their CMO. And I said, no. Last week was our biggest order this year. I said, our sales are going up all the time. And he goes, oh, well, let me look into this. And then their next guy that got on the phone a week later, got on a Zoom call, was with my VPs, and they said, We're gonna cancel, but we're gonna look at 2023, and I go, what do you mean? I've been with you guys since 2012. This makes no sense. Then their vice president, executive vice president, got on the phone with me last week, and he said, I said, somebody, there's something wrong here. What's the real reason for you guys canceling me? And he goes, we do have a new policy. You have to be a 4-star rating, and you're only a 3.8. I go, I've never heard of this star rating system. I said, whose rating system? He goes, well, we put that in internally 2.5 years ago. I said, I go, well, you're lying. You're just canceling because I've never heard of this, and this is the third excuse I've heard now. And then they lied to the public, and when the media all called them, and they said, hey, why did you cancel MyPillow? They wouldn't tell them why, but they said, oh, we're still going to have them online. That's a lie too. We're not online there. If they're selling anything at Walmart Marketplace, which we did find one the other day from China. These aren't my pillows, or they're not me selling them on their marketplace. So it's just full of lies. Then we found out their chairman of Walmart, I can't remember his name. I don't have my papers in front of me. But the chairman of Walmart, chairman of their board, we have it on tape. I investigated them last fall. We had a team investigate all these big retailer giants and to see why they were canceling. Well, that particular one, we have them on tape with Hunter Biden colluding to get rid of Donald Trump. This in 2018, and it's on tape for the whole world to see. It was on Hunter's laptop. It's all been made public. So it's really sad that this cancel culture, companies you trust, remember, Walmart was built on the American dream. And, you know, you're trying to take this away from our country. It's just disgusting.
Do you have any recourse? Is there anything legally that you can do to fight this? I mean, I understand, look, they're a private company. They can do what they want. They're a private company. They can choose who's in this store or not. But the fact that this is not a business decision, apparently, that this is a decision that's being made because of your politics, is what you believe. Is there anything that you can do legally to push back against this?
Well, you know, what I've done is just like what I've done. And I want to say something. By the way, this one hurts. This one hit home the most for me because it was our biggest retailer of the MyPillow bed pillows, which is my employees, 80% of them. That's what they do. They manufacture them. So you hit my employees. And that really, that's very, it was up till 4 a.m. The other day. And, you know, what am I going to do? How are we going to get through this? And I promised all my employees, none of them are going to get laid off. Here's what I've done. Just like when the other box stores canceled me, just like when Twitter, Facebook, all these places canceled myself and MyPillow, I built my own platform, frankspeech.com. That's on the App Store, Frank Speech. I also now came out with mystore.com. It's my store. It's for entrepreneurs or USA entrepreneurs and their products. So, you know, we just find, finding other ways to sell other than these box stores and these platforms that they're going to get theirs. You know, you look at like Bed Bath and Beyond, they just crashed after they dropped MyPillow. But, you know, I just have a bigger voice than what they've done to a lot of entrepreneurs and stuff. If you speak out, you know, with your politics or anything nowadays, look what they did on January 7th, 2021, 1.2 million Americans and platforms, people got deplatformed. From our great president, Donald Trump, to people that had podcasts, churches got canceled. They thought they were going to cancel everybody for good, but people migrated to other platforms and found other ways to communicate. And that's where we're at now with Walmart. Shame on Walmart. I encourage everyone to go to mystore.com. We found with MyPillow, what I did is I put out the 1988 pillow. The pillow they were going to get for $19.88, now I put it out for the whole country directly to the consumers with the promo codes that are out there so other podcasters, radio hosts, and TVs can promote them. And that's what Walmart, so they're not going to get what they would have made with their number one selling product. It's not like, they chose to forfeit even money. The times we're in now, can you imagine companies forfeiting big money? This wasn't a little thing. This was an offer. This was to Walmart, their number one driver for their stores. And they chose to take whatever they were afraid of the word getting out, let's just destroy Mike Lindell and MyPillow. And that's the choice they made. I will not go back to Walmart, even if they said tomorrow, hey, we made a mistake, because they knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, it takes incredible courage to stand up with number one, to tell your employees in a situation like this where you've lost your biggest account, you're not going to get fired. That takes a lot of courage, Mr. Lindell. And so I don't know what to say to you on that, except that takes a lot of courage. And then also to stand up to Walmart publicly. A lot of people would say, okay, listen, let's not give this any publicity. Let's try to resolve this behind closed doors and come to some resolution. But you're not doing that. You're letting people know exactly what happened here.
That's right, because I want people to know the truth. That's what I've been all about. Before I was brought everything for this 2020 election and all this stuff, I was the guy that made pillows. I was the media's darling. I didn't do anything different other than say, hey, here's what was brought to me. Here's what I found. Here's what people have found. And it's sad, but I'll tell you what, my employees know my word is good, because during the China virus, when that was all going on, I kept paying my employees, even if they didn't have anything to do. You know, ones that went home, we kept them on. And I don't know if a lot of companies can say that, but we're like a big family at MyPillow. We have over 2,000 employees. We have Democrats, conservatives, liberals, Republicans, Democrats, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. This has united us. We're like a big family, and we know we're going to get through, and we've all we have a lot of faith. We keep our faith in God, and we just do what we know is right. And if they I can't help what these other companies do, I can only move on, and they will get, you know, last year when they did it, it's like Costco when they did it. Customers, you know, they got upset with them, and they had our back, and they kept us going. So I'm very happy that happy that everyone gets behind us, and it's not just a divided country thing. There's an agenda to every this cancel culture that's out there, and it has nothing to do with a divided country. This is a takeover. This is our freedoms. This is what's come into our country. Manifestations of a stolen election, and what we can do if we don't have our elections going forward, where I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, it has to be elections, not selections.
Well, I just want to leave you with this, because our time is running out, Mike. I want to leave you with this. This was reported on June 1st, and you have probably heard it. I have a June 1st story, and it says this from Atlanta. Electronic voting machines from a leading vendor used in at least 16 states have software vulnerabilities that leave them susceptible to hacking if unaddressed. Yep. The nation's leading cybersecurity agency says in an advisory sent to state election officials. The United States Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency said there is no evidence the flaws in the Dominion voting system's equipment have been exploited to alter election results. But what they're saying here, we've found vulnerabilities. This is something you were talking about, others were talking about. We were told you were crazy. And now the government has admitted, oops.
Yeah, the government, the government's vindicated. There's been so much vindication. There was a real quickly, there was down in Georgia in May 24th, there was a primary of three Democrats in a local council. I know. I guess it was in the state primary, and she got zero votes in her own precinct. And her husband looked at each other and go, "What happened?" Well, that was such a deviation. They actually had to do a real fast machine audit. Opened up the machines and said, "Uh-oh, we've seen a mistake. You really got 3,720 more votes." This was a Democrat. Now there were three Democrats. She went from third place to first place. So that's just. They're finding stuff all over the place. It's not just the 2020 election. We can't have these machines, everybody. And this is where I've been fighting for it. We've got the replacement. We've got paper. And France did it with 70 million people, and they did it in one day. We've got a little more than double of that. We can get it done here, too.
Mike Lindell, we hope you'll join us again. Keep us posted on how things are going. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me on. God bless. Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdley, here on Bo Snerdley's Rush Hour, coming back right after this.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdley.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdley.
Rush.
Now, here's Bo Snerdley.
WABC, Talk Radio 77. Remember, Cats at Night up next. There is a story. In the New York Times today, what you know about the COVID vaccine for little kids. By the way, we're coming to your phone calls really quickly. But I want to get into this. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who is the director of the CDC, NP, has signed off on two COVID-19 vaccinations for kids over 6 months of age and under five. So the New York Times has a big story today. What do parents need, pretty much, they're asking to understand about all of this? And the questions. How do Moderna and Pfizer vaccines differ? I don't want to get into all of that. You can read it in the article if you care. What are the side effects of the vaccines in young kids? The data so far, says the New York Times, suggests that the side effects in younger kids are milder than those in older kids, probably because a lower dose of the vaccine is given, Dr. Shirley said. Among children 5 years old, the side effects were sort of the things that we expected in children after receiving a vaccine. Increased fussiness, sleepiness, and pain at the injection site, blah, blah, blah. They go on to say, this is a quote, no children in the vaccine trials developed heart issues like myocarditis, a form of heart inflammation that was seen in a small number of older children who received the vaccine. Well, this sparked my curiosity because we don't hear much about the older children that have had heart issues. Now, I happen to hear about them because I know people that are like leading members of the tinfoil hat community, and they make sure that I hear about this stuff, and I've been hearing for ages that, you know what, these vaccines that are already on the market that are going to teenagers, some of these teenagers have had adverse effects. Now, remember this. We had Senator Johnson on the program the other week, and he talked about the lack of data that the government is keeping and the lack of response on people that suffer adverse effects. Once again, I want to assure all of you, I am not an anti-vaxxer. I got vaxxed. I got COVID afterwards. I got vaxxed. I got COVID afterwards, a really bad case that almost killed me. I got vaxxed, and I am not an anti-vaxxer. What I am is pro-truth. And I want to know, and you need to know the truth about these things. And so you need to be able to make your own assessment. Now, one of the last things that the New York Times says, and the questions that they want to raise is, COVID-19 symptoms are often mild in young kids, and they can get the virus even if they're vaccinated. So what's the point of vaccinating my young child? Here's the answer that the New York Times has in its article. It's true that COVID-19 is far less risky for kids than it is for those who are older. But, the New York Times says, more than 440 children aged 4 and under have died from COVID-19 since January 2020, and the infection is, quote-unquote, one of the top 10 causes of death of children in the United States. That's according to Yvonne Maldonado, who's a pediatric infectious disease physician at Stanford Medicine. Now, I have a question about this, because inquiring minds, as they say, want to know. You say that COVID is one of the top 10 causes of death. What are the other 10? And do we have vaccines for the other 10? 440. What is that of the population? Well, I happen to know from reading elsewhere, not in the New York Times, thank you, that the number of children that we're talking about here with this 440 children represents, if you haven't heard it, sit down, represents 0.01% of that universe, meaning of all of the children that there are. The number 440 represents 0.01 of them that have died from COVID. So the point that the New York Times is not stressing is that, yes, you can do this, and it is true, and I'm not debating this. 440 children have died. But what that represents is 0.01% of all children. Now, you make up your own mind. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But I just think that we need to have truth about the way these things are reported, and people need to have all the information possible to make up their own minds. Once again, I am not an anti-vax person. I'm not a tinfoil hat person. I don't want to know about all these conspiracy theories and all this weirdness, but the American people deserve the truth. And they're not getting the truth from their media. They are getting a narrative from their media. And it's the same narrative, coincidentally, that they get from the Democrat Party. And that narrative happens to leave out who is making money from these vaccines. The narrative also leaves out who is responsible and should be held accountable for the spread of COVID, not just in the United States, but around the world. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snurley, we are definitely coming back with your calls. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. Coming back with your calls and more right after this.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snurley.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snurley.
Rush.
Ain't that cute?
Take these chains from my heart and set me free.
Yeah, it would be a good idea.
You've
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snurley. It's story time. We're going to take your calls. Yes, yes, yes. I just want to tell you a little story first, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I remember once upon a time, we had a president of the United States. Now, this president, poor guy, would just come off Air Force One and he'd just trip all over himself. And then this president, while he tried to go up to the stage and deliver a speech, and you know what he'd do? He'd fall all over himself again, just trip. And my friends, let me tell you something. He was a laughing stock. The media in this country just went off. They had a field day with him. They did. They had Saturday Night Live skits on how clumsy he was. They did. Yes, they did. And they said this man had to be the clumsiest fool president we ever had in our lives. Now, let's fast forward. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another president. Now, this president doesn't fall down the stairs on Air Force One. He falls up the stairs. When he's going up the stairs, he falls. And if the wind blows too hard, it looked like this fella, he's about to be picked off and carried away with the wind. Now, this president, this past weekend, he got on his bicycle. And you know what happened when he got on his bicycle? Why, he fell. He fell on the ground. And he was looking on the ground just as sorry as he can be. But you know, funny thing, our media don't find nothing funny about this one. They don't have no skits on Saturday Night Live about what a clumsy old man he is. No, they just try to do their best to pretend that everything is normal. And that's our little story time for today. We call it A Tale of Two Presidents, one named Gerald Ford and the other Joe Biden. Let's go to the telephone. Angelina, Huffington, New York. Welcome. You're on Bo Snurley's Rush Hour. How are you, Angelina?
Oh, Mr. Golden?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I am like your biggest fan. I adore you so much. I'm going to try to contain myself because we're on the radio. But man, I just think you are so wonderful. You're so real. You're raw. Everything that I think, you say. So I know I'm not crazy. So you validate that I am not the only crazy person in this world who thinks this world has gone to hell in a handbasket.
Well, I thank you. I am here and I'm listening, okay. Devouring and loving every single word. Thank you so much, Angelina.
You're my big teddy bear. I finally saw your picture. I Googled you. I've been having like a crush on you, and not a romantic crush, but like an intellectual crush on you for so long. This is like, was on my bucket list. So thank you for fulfilling my bucket list.
Angelina, I am happy to. Anytime, darling. And if it's a romantic crush, you can call in with that too. I'm not going to turn you away. Thank you, darling. Let's go to Marianne in Sleepy Hollow, New York. Thank you, Angelina. How are you, Marianne?
I'm great. Thank you for taking my call, Bo. I just wanted to make a comment about Mike Lindell. Bravo for him for standing up for his faith and for our freedom. And I have purchased so many things from MyPillow.com and will continue to do so and give them as gifts. And his new website, My Store, is wonderful. Wisconsin Metal Art and so many others. Made in America. Excellent quality, and I just wanted to say bravo to him, and thank you for having him on. I really appreciate it.
You know, I have a special announcement that I just got flash traffic, and Marianne, here it is. And all of you who want to support not only Mike Lindell, but the folks that are working at MyPillow, you heard him describe them. All Americans, everybody, just the diversity of America on parade at MyPillow, and he's going to pay them all regardless and keep them on the workforce regardless of what Walmart did to his business. So listen to this, my 77 WABC listeners. MyPillow founder Mike Lindell joined me earlier today, you know that, and lucky for you, Mike is giving 77 WABC listeners deep discounts on MyPillow products. All you have to do, I'm going to give you a phone number here. All you have to do is call 800-877-2185 and use the code WABC to get deep discounts on MyPillow products. Here's the phone number again, 800-877-2185. Use the code WABC. Call right now. Support MyPillow. Thank you so much. And Marianne, thank you so much for your call. So appreciated. Thank you, darling. Let's go to Patricia in Brooklyn. Patricia, you're on with James Golden, Bo Snerley's Rush Hour. How are you?
I'm good, James. Bless your soul. Everybody adores you. There's no question about that. I did Google, I guess that's what you call it, the Queen's DA's Melinda Katz. Her salary, I hope you're sitting down because you could be amazed, $120,000 a year. Her ex-husband is Curtis Lewa. They have two boys together. Her income, get this, James, net worth is $1 to $5 million in the year 2022. Hello, if I was moving, wouldn't you call like a moving company and not get yourself in trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear exactly what you said after you said she was Curtis's ex-wife. Something about somebody together. I didn't hear that. But clearly. But I just want to say, you know, hey, Curtis, maybe find out about this. Maybe call your ex, say, yo, what's going on? Maybe why are you using your security detail to help move you? It's an interesting proposition. But regardless of whose ex-wife she is, and I was only kidding, it shouldn't happen. I mean, yes, even if you're not making those kind of bucks, even if you're not worth that, you don't use city employees for this. And I wonder if this DA is going to either refute this story or apologize to the taxpayers. Let's go to Manhattan. Thank you for calling, Patricia. Eddie in Manhattan, you're on Bo Snerley's Rush Hour. How are you?
Okay, Mrs. Snerley, thank you. Are we still flying the illegals and busing them around the country at these tremendous gas prices?
Yes, Eddie. And guess what? I'm so happy you called. Pete Buttigieg is not telling the American public why none of these flights are being canceled or where these flights are, how much they cost. So I guess the illegals didn't have to worry about their flights being canceled or stuck on airport floors over the weekend. They can get where they're going while American citizens and others are suffering through these massive flight delays and flight cancellations. What a great point, Eddie. Thank you for that.
And I just had a quick question.
Go ahead.
Evans Bishop, do you think he was murdered?
I don't know, and I would have to research it before I could give you an answer, and I honestly don't know. I'd have to look into see exactly what you're talking about here. Anyway, Eddie, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let us go to Kevin in Bayonne, New Jersey. How are you, Kevin?
Two quick questions. How many letters are there in an alphabet?
Now, look, 26.
All right, really. How many weeks are in the year?
Well, 52. That's what we're told. What we learn.
There are 52 letters in the alphabet. Capital A, small a, dot, dot, dot. Capital Z, small z. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Trick question. And I fell for it. Eddie, Staten Island. Welcome, WABC Talk Radio 77. Time's running out. Eddie, make your point.
Okay, quick. Hi, James. Can you answer why George Soros, I know why, is purchasing 14, 15 Spanish stations to
18.
Influence the election?
18.
It's annoying the heck out of me.
18. And he's, yeah, it was 18 from what I understand. And of course, he's doing this because the Democrats right now are in trouble. They are in deep doo-doo-doo-doo with the Hispanic vote. By the way, another article today is in The Hill. I'm going to save this one for tomorrow because I've been making this point all along. That DACA, remember that business Obama and DACA, the dreamers and all that stuff? The article points out how Democrats have done nothing to really make sure that there's some DACA protection. They come up with these bills, but they know they will never get Republicans to sign on because they're so outrageous with the things they ask. They don't want a solution for DACA. And so that article was in The Hill today. I've been saying that all along, that Hispanic Americans have been played by Democrats. And that was the conclusion that this article came to. Anyway, what a day, Monday. Remember, MyPillow, use the code WABC, 800-877-2185 for that. In the meantime, may God bless and protect each and every one of you and your families. James Golden, Bo Snerley. I will be back tomorrow and every weekday, 4 o'clock. Cats at Night up next. See you later. Bye.